Welcome to the Lightly Salted Podcast. These are the readings and sermons of St. John's Lutheran Church of Park Rapids, Minnesota. They are offered so that the Word of God would shape and strengthen you to be what He calls you to be, salt and light. You can find us at stjohnspr.org. Now, on to the Word. Our Old Testament reading for the celebration of Maundy Thursday is recorded for us in the prophet Jeremiah, where God promises to do something new. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistle reading is drawn from the first letter to the Corinthians, the 11th chapter. In Paul's letter to Corinthians, there's a lot of words of encouragement and also words of admonishment. He had to correct some of the practices that had gone astray in the church, and this is one of them, their practice of communion. Paul writes as God the Holy Spirit guides him. But in the following instructions, I do not commend you. Because when you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. And I believe that in part, for there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. When you come together, it's not the Lord's Supper that you eat. For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry, another gets drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you for this? No, I will not. For what I received from the Lord, I also delivered to you. That the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread and drinks of the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so when you come together, will not be for judgment. About the other things, I will give directions when I come. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We join in reading responsively Psalm 116. Just to note, it's not pastor and congregation, but pastor, women, and men. How can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. Courts of the house of the Lord in your midst, O Jerusalem. I invite the congregation to please stand for the reading of the gospel. The gospel of this evening is recorded for us in the gospel of St. Luke, the 22nd chapter. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat it." They said to him, "Where will you have us prepare it?" He said to them, "Behold, when you have entered the city, a man carrying a water jug will meet you. Follow him into the house that he enters and tell the master of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room that I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room furnished. Prepare it there." And they went and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. And when the hour came, Jesus reclined at table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you, from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated as we join in our sermon hymn.
Well, grace, peace, and mercy be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see him on the side of highways, almost anywhere in this country. Little shrines with a cross and a few plastic flowers. Some may be neatly mowed. Some are marked by solar lights. In the southwestern part of our country, they are called descansos, the Spanish word for rest. In South Dakota, since 1979, the state of Puttah has put up a little sign along the side of those highways that says, "Think," and on the other side, "Why die?" In all cases, they mark the spot where someone died in a car crash, at the spot where death occurred. They proclaim the person's death quietly but clearly. Today we have something more than just a sign, more than a memorial, a sacrament that reminds us of the death of Jesus. He assigned it at that purpose at the first Lord's Supper in the upper room on the night that he was betrayed, the night before he died. Those roadside shrines do make you think, just as the state of South Dakota intended. They make you think about wearing your seatbelt. Think about how fast you're going. Think about the people around you. Think about those who are in your vehicle. Think about the alcohol that you've just had. And think about, where is your attention? Think. The Lord's Supper also makes you think. But about Jesus. Do this in remembrance of him who died. Proclaim his death. Those signs can't keep you from having another car crash. But this sacrament forgives your sins, strengthens your faith, and it gives you eternal life. This is why Jesus causes his death to be remembered, so that the people have life. You know, it doesn't take long for people to forget about Jesus' death, especially when they come together for the Lord's Supper. And we see that especially in 1 Corinthians, where Paul sternly says, when you come together, it is not for the Lord's Supper that you eat. For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry, another gets drunk. Wow. Talk about forgetting Jesus. And when they forgot, no action took place. They didn't believe. Therefore, they did not receive any of the benefits. Sure, they enjoyed one another's company, but they only had a meal that came with temporary effects and gave whatever their body needed. Sure, they enjoyed another one's time, but again, they missed out. They missed out on the benefits, especially when Paul says, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. The Lord's Supper are for those united in the faith that has been given in God's Word. The Holy Spirit calls people to faith in the gospel. So in God's Supper, there is unity as people come together confessing the same faith. As they come to the altar and receiving, and they make a proclamation proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. Remembering Jesus. But yet, Paul warned about the abuse of the Lord's Supper, and the abuse about forgetting Jesus' death, how it would make them guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. What God intended for the good of their souls would be the opposite. Instead of forgiveness and strength, there was judgment and even death. But that's not the kind of death that God desires to be remembered every time we come to this altar. Rather, it's Jesus causing us to remember his death when we come to this. Because remembering it, there is life. Now, there are still problems with us when we come together for the sacrament of the altar. I'm happy to say it's not because we struggle with the issues that Paul talks about here in Corinth. But we struggle. We struggle in the sense of unity. We are so used to having things go our way, the way that we want them, that we end up forgetting about who this supper actually is. It's the Lord's Supper. But sometimes it seems we want it to be something else. We want it to be our supper, a private meal between us and God, rather than being a meal shared amongst neighbors and God. We don't like to remember death and the cross all the time. So we try to put this nice spin on it, on the Lord's Supper. And we see this especially when we look at our society. How we look at our society's distaste or disavowal of death that leads to turning funerals into a celebration of life. How we avoid saying death. And now it's more common to hear that when someone dies, they passed. Some folks even think that those road signs, those reminders of when someone dies in a car crash, are inappropriate. There was actually a time in Orlando, Florida, where this radio announcer gets on the radio and tells them, hey, I'm offering free t-shirts to anyone who will go out to the highways and tear one of those down and bring it to the station. We see this in how the lawsuits have been issued out in many states. They've been filed because people don't want to see crosses on the side of the road, especially when they're driving in public. And now some states, instead of seeing signs like this or little crosses, only allow little white signs. People don't want to be reminded of religion or death. But yet the sacrament of the altar is a visible sign combined with the word of God to make it not only a reminder of Jesus' death, but to cause a participation in that death to take place for those who commune. But still, we focus sometimes more on the eating and the drinking than we do on the word of God and the faith created by that word. Now, there's a Tennessee Williams short story that fits this quite nicely. It's a story about a shy man who married the love of his life, childhood sweethearts, and they lived together and owned a bookstore and living above it in the apartment, and they enjoyed a wonderful life. But the wife got tired, got anxious, and she wanted more than he could give. She wanted an adventure. And so what she did? She left him. She left and joined a theater group. But as she is leaving, her husband gives her a key to the shop, hoping, trusting, that their love would bring her right back to him. And so he waited, and he waited, and he grieved. 15 years later, she expects to surprise him. But he didn't recognize her. As soon as he comes up to him, he treats her as any other customer. Are you looking for a book? And she says, yes, but I can't remember the title. So she describes this wonderful story about these childhood sweethearts who got married young, lived in an apartment above a bookstore, and were hoping one day to have family. But yet the ambitious wife left him to seek adventure, but could never forget about the key that her husband gave to her. And she was waiting, as she's telling the story, for something familiar to come forward across his face, that he would finally see her. But then after a long pause, he said, oh, that's kind of familiar. That might be by the author Tolstoy. He forgot the purpose of his waiting and his grieving. All the man could remember was the waiting and grieving itself, not her. Christ, the bridegroom, who loves us more than anyone, has left us this key, this sacrament, this wonderful and amazing, powerful gift. We should recognize the Lord's body and blood, remembering him every time, and the love that he showed us as he's dying on the cross. Especially when we hear the words, do this in remembrance of me. Keep doing it, as Scripture tells us, until he comes. But have we focused so much so on other things that we don't even recognize him there, nor remember his death? Here's the question to consider. Will we no longer know the purpose of our eating and drinking and have only the eating and drinking itself? It makes you wonder. When we hear the words, do this in remembrance of me, it is an essential part of the Lord's institution of the sacrament of the altar. But what is this? Do what? What are we supposed to do? This is where you look to the small catechism, where it says, how can bodily eating and drinking do such great things? And here's the answer. Certainly not just eating and drinking do these things, but the words written here, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. These words, along with the bodily eating and drinking, are the main thing in the sacrament. Whoever believes these words has exactly what they say: forgiveness of sins. So the words of Christ, not our actions, are doing something. The word is the main thing. And then it goes on by saying, He is truly worthy and well prepared, who has faith in these words given and shed for you for the remission of sins. God has tied a bright finger, a bright string around the finger of the church in this sacrament. He causes his death to be remembered. He causes his cross to be remembered. He causes the forgiveness of sins to be remembered so that the people have life by his life and have life by his blood. Jesus causes his death to be remembered so that the people have life. So as we come throughout this Holy Week, when we're looking at the word remember and how it's active remembering, it's nothing passive, it's active, it's ongoing. So something happens when God remembers, or when God causes us to remember something. God has filled the Lord's Supper with power so that it's far more than just a ritual, far more than just eating and drinking. When we hear, "Do this in remembrance of me," we proclaim Christ's death, because in that death, he has given us life. Yes, there's eating and there's drinking, and that is found in this sacrament, but it's not the main thing. God's word is still the main thing in the sacrament. And we see this especially when we come to the catechism, when we look at one of their questions that they ask. How can bodily eating and drinking give us such great spiritual benefits as forgiveness, life, and salvation? Here's their answer. It is the words of Christ, together with his body and blood, under the bread and the wine, that are the means through which forgiveness is bestowed. God has powerfully placed such life and salvation in the Lord's Supper. Does our examination of ourselves show sin and weaknesses that cancels these benefits? Not at all. The sacrament forgives our sins and strengthens our weaknesses. And again, we come to the catechism when it says, "He is truly worthy and well prepared, who has faith in these words, given and shed for you for the remission of sins." God's powerful gospel gives us faith to believe his words of life. So whenever we hear that point of Christ causing us to remember his death, we're hearing it so that we have life. And that biblical remembering involves a subsequent action. What action does God cause to happen after the Lord's Supper? Depart in peace. This is the condensed version of the words we sing after communion. When we sing, "O Lord, now let your servant depart in heavenly peace, for I have seen the glory of your redeeming grace." Amen.
Thanks for listening to Lightly Salted. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at stjohnspr.org or look for us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.
Our thanks to Eric Medeish at soundimage.org for Morning Dew.
God's blessings.